Hi, this is Ned Siegfried from Siegfried & Jensen. As proud sponsors of BeliefCast, we hope you are inspired by Todd's weekly podcasts, which contain so many courageous stories of recovery and personal growth. Remember, it's not what happened in the past that matters, it's what happens in the future. We invite you all to work hard and be optimistic about your future. Enjoy today's podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Todd Sylvester with the Todd Inspires BeliefCast. As always, thank you for tuning in and for supporting me and all this. We're going on 7 years, 369 episodes. We're ranked in the top 150 in mental health in the world. It's crazy. I just pinch myself, and I give credit to my guests, not me, because it's not about me. It's about my guests and their incredible journeys and everything that they've been through. And I know, you know, the comments I get is everyone's like, man, I needed to hear that today. So today's going to be no different. First off, a shout out to my sponsors. Thank you for supporting me. It means the world to me. Without you guys, I wouldn't be where I'm at. And again, guys, thanks for tuning in and sharing these episodes with your family and loved ones. It means the world. So today we're joined with Christy Jex Gerlach. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I said it correct. Christy and I, we met a little over 3 years ago. We got connected, I think, from a mutual friend. If I remember right, I'm thinking it was Tiffany Peterson, but I'm not 100% sure.
We had a couple.
And at the time we met, you had these big plans, and you were trying to work through some things. And again, we had a great conversation, and the feedback on that show was awesome. I just can't believe it's been that long ago.
I know. And then in ways I'm like, only 3 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you've been through a lot, and we're going to get into that. And when I say a lot, I mean, you've been through some heavy, heavy trials. That's what's most impressive about you, Christy, in my eyes, just the way you carry yourself with dignity, grit, with faith. Those kind of things really stand out to me. I feel like I know you so well because I follow you on social media, and I just love your post. You love to dance. You love to, you're very positive. You love your kids like no other. You love working on you. Like, you have dug deep more than I've seen in a lot of people, honestly. And so you've got a company we're going to talk about, this really cool course called Radiant Peace Collective, which we're going to get into a little bit later. But, you know, why don't we start off, Christy? Tell us a little bit about you, maybe just for those who don't know, where you grew up, and maybe just a little bit about your childhood.
Okay. Oh, cool. So I was born in Orem, Utah, and then we moved pretty quickly after that to Kansas, where my dad got his doctorate degree in organ performance from KU. Wow. And then we moved to Lubbock, Texas, and that was, he was an organist full-time for an a Methodist church there. And then we moved to Michigan to Bloomfield Hills, right outside of Detroit, and he was an organist for an Episcopal church.
Oh, wow.
And then moved back to Spanish Fork, Utah
in 91. That's how you have to say it too, right?
So yeah, that was my childhood. I am the oldest now. I've been every age order. I was the youngest for 8 years, middle child for 2 years, and then oldest for the rest of that, which is kind of unique.
Yeah, that is very unique. I don't think anyone can even say that.
I know.
You're probably the only one that can
say that, but it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm really close to my parents are my best friends. My siblings are my joy, and my nieces and nephew. I mean, I'm super close to my family, and we're all in the area now. So that's been awesome.
Yeah. You know, like we said earlier, you've been through a lot in your life. You know, when we officially met and you shared your story with us, you know, 3+ years ago, that was kind of like the beginning of some really heavy things in your life. And I think if it's okay, let's just get kind of into that, because I want our listeners to understand what you've been through, because it's going to be so inspiring of the work you've put in to get to where you're at today, even. Mm. So do you mind sharing kind of what was going on and then what you're comfortable sharing with in that area?
Yeah, of course. So yeah, 3 years ago, I remember the morning that I got ready for your podcast. I remember where my life was, and that was really the very beginning of what I would call the dark night of my soul. I was living my dream life at the time, truly, Yeah. Dream home, custom head to toe, inside and out. Beautiful, four children that I adore with my whole heart. A thriving business that I found so much meaning, and I still find meaning in that work.
Yeah.
My husband and I had been through a lot at the time, and we were in a really good place, and I was living my dream life. I'm doing air quotes right now.
Yeah.
living the literal dream life. What happened after that was my body was doing some weird things. So I think it was starting right when right before I met with you for the first show.
Yeah.
I was having like a pounding heart. I couldn't sleep at night. Mm. My panic attacks were coming back, and I didn't really have a clear reason why. I didn't know why.
Yeah.
I was leading my youth group at the time, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I had a full plate.
Oh yeah, you were busy.
With that as well. Yeah. And I was I love to serve, and I love people, and I love business and my kids and my family. I was very overcommitted for sure.
Yeah.
So my body was doing some weird things, and I didn't know what to make of it. And I kept battling myself, like, you're living your dream life. Why are you not sleeping at night? Why are you not able to eat? I couldn't eat. So I was like losing weight and just really small, which people might think that's awesome. It's not when your stomach's on fire.
Yeah.
And you can't eat.
It's the wrong way to lose weight.
Right. Wouldn't recommend. Yeah. Eating is fun. I love food.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, long story short, my intuition and my beautiful body that has my back all the time was trying to get my attention that there were some things that I wasn't aware of. And it was time for me to take a look at them. I knew about a lot of them. In fact, my former husband and I had been separated several times because I knew about some of the things that were happening. But what I didn't know was the degree that things were happening. So bottom line with all of that, my life kind of crumbled at that point. I found out that there was prolonged and long-term dishonesty, some inappropriate sexual behavior, pursuing of other women, and prolonged infidelity. And it rocked me to my core.
Yeah. You know, that, which is understandable. And it's interesting that your body was trying to tell you something. Why do you think that? How does that happen?
Man, I love my body.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
About the body and just how powerful and how in tune our bodies are. At that time, I was actually in trauma recovery therapy.
Yeah.
To try to recover from the betrayal that I knew about so that I could re-enter my marriage.
Yeah.
But what I didn't know was that my body was no longer going to allow it. So yeah. I've learned a lot about my body and how in tune and how it can really be a teacher. And when I allow it to guide me and teach me, I can learn and listen and tune in. But that's not necessarily easy in the world that we live in with all the body stuff that goes on. And so yeah, that's kind of how that happened.
Yeah. So, I mean, cause you're one who, you know, you have big dreams, hopes, you're always striving to do something big. And you were at that time, if I remember, you had a lot of these, you know, things you were going to do.
Yeah.
Then you get hit with this. Just talk a little bit about how that affected, obviously it affected you on so many levels, but I can only imagine the hopeless feeling that you may have been going through, like these dreams that you had and this is where I'm going now what? Almost feeling lost. You describe that a little bit?
The word is disorienting.
Okay.
I remember just battling so many dark nights, and anyone who's been through this and who can relate can probably understand. And I went into a very deep depression. I was still showing up for my kids because that love is huge. And so, you know, as a moms, we know you rally and you give your kids what you don't even have, which is steadiness. And I didn't have steadiness, but I knew that's what they needed. And so at that point, I really just started some really deep healing around being with my emotions instead of judging my anger and not allowing my anger about some very valid situations. I started to allow myself to feel some things. I started to go on power rides and listen to some Slipknot, and that felt really good.
Yeah, right.
I started to run it out, and
I love it.
Yeah, I have some choice words that I believe are meant for the purpose of processing and releasing this anger.
Yeah.
And so up to that point, I never allowed myself to feel anger. I had judged it and told myself I was unchristlike or wrong or bad for even feeling anger.
Yeah.
And that was such a misguided, unfortunate assumption.
I'm glad you bring that up, because I think we're taught that, you know, like even when, you know, don't be angry, you know, mm-hmm. like we tell our kids that sometimes even like, and we almost have this belief that anger is a bad thing,
mm-hmm.
but there's times obviously mm-hmm. where we have to express it. Mm-hmm. We have to get it out.
Yeah.
You know, this is a little side note. We had a guest speaker here the other day, and he was talking about when a lion goes after a gazelle, right, for mm-hmm. food. If the gazelle gets away, after, you know, the gazelle now knows they're safe.
Yeah.
The gazelle will lay down and shake violently.
Mm.
And what it's doing is it's releasing all the anxiety and the angst from almost losing their life.
Mm.
And it's kind of like, you know, you banging your head to Slipknot.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
My Jeep, I remember just pounding that, like, the drums.
Did you feel like that's what was going on? You were kind of purging?
Oh, absolutely. I will say, this is my own misunderstanding. There were some cultural beliefs tied to some religious things that I misunderstood grossly. I was reframing the word charity to mean my needs don't matter. And at that point, when I woke up to that truth, I couldn't unsee it.
Wow, you're right.
When I started to wake up to, wait a minute, but charity for me too. My needs matter. Mm. And my body, my beautiful body was getting mm-hmm. my attention. Christy, your needs matter. Pay attention. I'm trying to get your attention. And so for me to feel that anger was actually sacred. It was a sacred, sacred experience for me to allow myself the space to process things, some anger from my brother passing away when I was a 9-year-old little dolly. Mm. I didn't allow myself to feel any of that.
Yeah.
I just said, I got to be perfect now. I got to make everybody happy. Nobody told me that. I just, that's the observation that I made.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was a really beautiful process of going through that. And my cheeks are getting hot talking about it because it's sacred to me. And I have my own back now. I didn't have my own back. I literally was just like, whatever works for everybody else, that's what I'm going to do. My needs, if my needs matter, it's going to cause a huge mess for everybody around me. Wow. So I just self-betrayed. But then when I woke up to that, like I said, it was one of those things, once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
So that served me as such a beautiful teacher. Anger's powerful. There's energy there. It's right. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Acting in anger isn't beautiful.
Right.
Feeling and processing anger in a healthy way is so healing.
Yeah.
And that was really step one for me. I didn't plan on talking about anger today, but that
but here we are.
But for sure, it was part of my journey. And I've got a whole playlist of my songs that helped me carry that out in that season.
Yeah. Were you having someone help you navigate this? Were you seeing someone?
Yeah.
And talk about that, maybe that journey too, and how that was helpful.
Oh, absolutely. So I am an advocate for any sort of support, whether that's a mm-hmm. coach that you resonate with, a therapist, there's all energy workers, there's all sorts of modalities, and I do them all at different seasons of my life.
Yeah.
At that time, I was very in depth working with a trauma therapist. And we were in the depths working through. I went in thinking I was going to work through my betrayal trauma so that I could re-enter my marriage, start fresh. But that turned, and it turned to like, let's talk about what's really going on here. And I learned how to regulate my nervous system. And I learned how to be gentle with myself. And warrior Christy, I know how to warrior. Man, I know how to warrior.
You do.
But after that, my therapist would say, Christy, no more warrior. We're going to be gentle. I want you taking naps in the afternoon. And I was like, what is she talking about? I got to go. Like I was in fight or flight for so long.
Yeah.
That my nervous system was just shot. So that was a really beautiful process of just allowing my emotions, learning how to do that. It sounds so weird, but learning how to actually be present in my body and safe in my body to feel these big emotions and reconnect with me. learn that I can care for others and love others and myself.
Yeah.
And that my needs matter.
Yeah.
Not just everyone else's.
Yeah. That's a great message, Christy, because I think, first of all, I love your vulnerability. Thank you so much. And I think it's such a good message because I think, I mean, we're taught in so many ways, whether it's, you know, through religion or just culture or just everyday life at school, where, you know, we're always taught keep helping people, which is a good thing, and we should. But a lot of times we do it at the peril of ourselves, right? We don't take care of us. And, you know, I hear this a lot in treatment here where, you know, you can't lift someone to higher ground unless you're standing there yourself. Mm. So get you to higher ground. Then you are in a position where you can help and it doesn't drain you. It doesn't exhaust you. And it sounds like for the first time you were pausing some things and finally taking a look at Christy and to be like, what do I need to do for me?
Yeah.
Boy, that's a beautiful message, honestly.
Well, yeah, it came to a point where God knows I'm a determined girl. I'm a solution girl. I'm driven.
Yeah.
I will make things work, or I will keep pressing forward. And my love for my kids is so big that it kept me in a place that was unhealthy that way. I didn't want my kids to experience a divorce.
Right.
I didn't want to do that to my family. I didn't want that. But what I learned was that I could no longer continue. And God got my attention in a big way with my body. It was almost like there's a fork in the road. You cannot continue physically. Your body will not allow you to continue doing this physically.
Yeah.
So it was like the whispers came and I ignored them and I solutioned out of it for so long because I'm so driven and so determined that it came down to a breaking point of your health is not going to allow this anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you mentioned on a few of, like, even some of your social media posts about faith confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, what does that mean? And what was that part of, like, when you were, you know, talking about charity, what you said earlier, was that kind of the confusion?
Oh, man.
Was that part of what you're talking about?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's a combination. First and foremost, my connection with my creator was crowded.
Mm.
There were too many people up in there. Get out of here. Like, my connection with my creator is between me and him.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that everyone's belief, whether it's God, universe, creator, is valid and beautiful.
Yeah.
So I am a God girl, 100%. But it was crowded. There were too many people between me and him. Too many people's ideas, too many people's interpretations, too many people's, there was some manipulation.
Wow.
That I really got aware of in that season of realizing, wait a minute, that's not my thoughts. That's not what I believe.
Right.
What do you believe, Christy? And let's just simplify that connection between you and God. And let's just politely excuse everyone else out of there. There's other people that can be on the side and supportive of that relationship, but there is nothing that replaces me and God and every one of us and God. That's very personal.
Right. Yeah, I've never heard it said that way. It was very crowded.
Too many people.
And I think it really hit me when you said that, because when you started explaining that, like, you know, this person's opinion on this person, this is how you do it. And, you know, it's like, you know, like almost pushing that all away. And it's like just that oneness.
Yeah.
If you will. Is that?
Oh, right? Yes. It felt there were elements of that season that were precious that way. I just felt cradled in my creator's hands. Like, it's a mess, Christy. It's a mess. Everything's a mess. Yeah. You know, you're about to embark on, that was the beginning of the dark night of my soul in so many ways. But the really precious truth is I knew I was held all the time. And while it was messy, I knew I was held.
Yeah.
And it was ultimately in his control. Wow. So that was a beautiful process of, I call it untangling. So I don't even call it a faith crisis because I'm still there. I'm
sure.
I've clarified and simplified and I'm more solid than ever there.
Mm.
But I did have to untangle some things. I had to take some steps back and go, whoa,
yeah.
What part of this is someone else's interpretation that's not even real? What part of this is some manipulation from my history? What part of this is just straight up my own personal experience that is not across the board everyone's experience? How can I apply this in a pure, simple way? And really, the bottom line of that for me, I kept, you know, showing up at church. I kept doing the things because mm-hmm. I wanted the light. Even when I would cry in the corner yeah. because it was traumatic,
yeah.
I wanted to look for the love and look for the light because I needed it.
Yeah.
And so I would go and there would be things that would be triggering and I would cry for a minute in the bathroom, but then I would come back out and look for the love and look for the light. Heavenly Father's love, God's love, Creator's love, and the light, because I was desperately seeking that, and I knew I needed that and that my kids needed that.
Yeah. How did you navigate this with your children? Because again, you don't want them to go through this, obviously, which yeah. makes sense.
Right.
Because at the same time you're hurting so much. Mm. How do you do that? Because I think a lot of people listening to this might be in the same situation, or they're going through it right now, or maybe they're still trying to navigate with their children. What?
Yeah.
How did you do that?
You mean like the shifting dynamics with my home?
Yeah, just like we're getting a divorce and things are going to now be different. I mean, that's some heavy news for kids, especially, right? And just wondering how you navigated making sure, because you said it, you rallied as a mom. I love that, because I believe you, because I know you're a go-getter. But just talk about that transition with your children.
Okay. So my former husband and I made an agreement that we were going to make it 100% about the kids.
Mm.
And that was a commitment that we've both stuck to. While it's been uncomfortable at times and there's been pain on both sides, we have committed, and I feel like for the vast majority, both of us can say that we have shown up for our kids.
That's great.
So we've really, I mean, we told the kids and said, we are here. Can we make a pinky promise, all of us, that we don't quietly struggle? Let's keep talking. You are safe. Big. All your emotions are safe here. If you're mad, let's go for a ride. I got some good music we can listen to. And you're allowed to say some words if you need to. Really allowing space for them to feel the messy, reckless emotions that they feel with me, with their dad, with whoever they felt comfortable with. So we really tried to get out of the way to take anything personal and just realize this is going to be uncomfortable for all of us. But let's stick together and let's make a commitment that we're going to be honest and open and transparent with our emotions. And I don't think I've done a perfect job. I don't know how to do it, Todd.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but I do know I took it a minute at a time sometimes.
Mm.
Sometimes it was a breath at a time. Sometimes it was an hour at a time. Sometimes it was just right here, right now, I'm playing Legos with my little Benji boy. And that's all that matters.
Yeah.
It's just being really striving to just be present in whatever moment it is.
Yeah.
And intentional. If I'm going to be crying, I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to cry hard.
Yeah.
And I let them see some of that.
Mm.
Of course, I wanted to create a steady foundation so that they didn't take on feeling like they were responsible for any of our emotions.
Right.
But I know for me, it was actually really healing. I think for them to see me crying.
Yeah.
And see me breaking down sometimes. Guys, I am so sad. I didn't share details with them. That's not theirs. And I would always say, I'm going to handle this. I'm okay.
Yeah.
But mama has feelings and I'm struggling.
Mm.
And so I don't know if it worked or not. I know I love them and they love me. And
well, I love that. I think that's actually makes sense to me because again, you were just being real instead of, because again, before you were on some level, not being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to help you. Oh, yeah. I'm going to go. I'm going to help you. And inside, you're just dying inside.
Yeah.
That's not authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now you're being really authentic with your children and they're seeing it, even though it's hard to see mom struggle, I'm sure. But at the same time, it's like, okay, but at least mom's just being real. So then you're teaching your kids, I can be real too.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
That just clicked right now as you were saying that. That's powerful.
Yeah. I think it is. And I think, you know, even through my untangling of some of my misunderstandings with my faith, I was very open with that. I've got some things that I'm confused about, but I know I love God.
Yeah.
I know I love Jesus. And I know that it's okay to have questions and have it feel messy.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep taking one step and then another step. I'm going to keep showing up because I know that God answers prayers when we are moving our feet.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep showing up, but it's just kind of messy. And my life at the time looked different than it did.
Yeah.
Some of my choices and the place that I was at and the things that felt aligned, it was different than my previous life, but it was okay for me to have a season that was messy. And I learned through that things I couldn't have learned the way I was living before. And so it was right. really healing for me to be really open and just say, I have these different feelings, but I just think it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It feels messy right now, but I know that it's okay to have questions and keep taking steps forward.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thanks for sharing all that. I mean, there's so much we could sit there and delve into. You go through this and you're still probably working on things, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But it's interesting that things are like, I mean, from the outside, man, look like pretty dang good for you. You know, you met Matt and you're married to Matt now, and shout out to Matt.
Oh,
good
yeah.
for you guys.
Matt, he's the best.
And you know, again, you're working hard on making sure your kids are where they need to be. You're working hard on you.
Yeah.
Talk about maybe how did you get to this point, and what were some of the, and this is a big question, what are some of the biggest lessons you've learned?
Mm.
And I know there's probably a million of them, but if you could maybe point a few out for us
that you've
learned through this process.
Hmm. That's a big one. There's so many. I'm like, let me pull out my notes on my phone. We can talk for hours.
I would say, I'm going to throw one out. You've learned resilience in a level. I mean, think how resilient you've been. Even in your darkest moments, you're here. I mean, think about it. You're sitting here with me today. That's unbelievable to think the depths. Have you ever heard the greater the darkness, the greater the light?
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. That's kind of, and it's like you're now at least basking in some light again, but you were in the depths of probably the darkest it's ever been.
You know, that's one thing. I'm glad you said that, because that really brought up one of my greatest treasures from this whole experience is the depth of my compassion. I thought I had compassion for humans and their pain. I did not have a clue. And I can honestly say, I don't have any judgment for anyone and what they do. There are parameters.
Sure.
There's straight evil in the world,
right.
And that's different.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is, what humans do when they're in great deals of pain sometimes can't be understood, and it doesn't need to be.
Yeah.
And it's nobody's business.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I had to let go of the possibility. I had to embrace the possibility that I would be misunderstood.
Yeah.
Not everyone knows the story. No, people don't know the whole story.
Right.
And I don't have a desire to share that, because I don't have a desire to be understood, because I understand that everyone has flavors of pain.
Yeah.
Every human listening to this, every human on the planet has some sort of pain that literally breaks their heart.
Yeah.
And so this experience has carved out such a deep space for me to have just huge compassion and empathy for what people go through, and just no judgment with what people's choices are. Surrender. We never know what's going on in people's hearts. We never know the pain they're dealing with, and it's none of our business to know.
Yeah.
We don't get to understand.
Right.
It's why we don't get to judge.
Yeah.
Because it's none of our dang business what people are dealing with. Wow. Their pain is underneath whatever is going on.
Yeah.
And so for me, it really has carved out compassion like I never could have imagined.
Dang, that's powerful. What do you think of this statement? Life happens for you.
That is so interesting. Really, if I boil everything down, the things that I'm learning, really boiled down the things that I want to share, that I feel compelled to share, it's this set of questions.
Okay.
And it's uncomfortable to answer this sometimes. When we're in the darkest place, it's not comfy to answer this question. We might want to be mad, and that's okay. Do I truly believe that God has this? Do I truly trust God to have this? Do I truly believe that all these things are perfect divinely? They are a freaking mess. But do I really believe that it's divinely in perfect order? And then do I truly trust myself and the process? those simple questions are so foundational. But to me, if I can work to get myself even one degree closer to answering yes, even if it's just, can I tolerate the possibility that maybe this is in divine order? Can I even tolerate the 1% shred that there's some divine order in this? It's a freaking mess, but is there 1%? If I can tolerate that being a possibility, that's winning.
Yeah.
So I do believe that.
Yeah.
There was a season where I wanted to punch someone if they said that. You don't know.
Yeah.
No, this isn't perfect. Right. This is a mess. This is my worst nightmare. But now I can honestly say, yeah.
You know, it's very well said, and I love how you detailed it the way you have. Have you ever heard of the book, The Little Soul in the Sun by Neil Donald Walsh?
No.
I think I have an extra copy. I'm going to give it to you.
Really?
It's a children's book.
Oh.
And it you will love it. It will be probably, I would be shocked if it won't be one of your most favorite books you've ever read.
Oh, I'm excited.
And it really talks about how we have to go through certain things in order to appreciate, like, what if, I mean, just talking out loud here, what if you had to go through all of this, all of the hell you went through, so you could have the compassion on this level because of what you're going to do now with your life will allow you to be so compassionate because you're going to help people going who are going through the same hell. I mean, what if that was the reason?
Right.
I mean, I know we're talking out loud, and there's probably a million reasons, but
yeah,
I just think it's so beautiful. Like, for you to have that depth of that. I mean, what a gift.
Oh,
and then we could list a bunch more, right? Obviously, resiliency and determination and grit and a stronger faith. And I mean, the list goes on, right?
Yeah. Well, what you said about resilience, this is interesting. I actually was woken up. This was one of the thoughts I had like in the middle of the night, and I wrote it. My definition of resilience is expanding my capacity to hold grief and joy at the same time, or heartbreak and joy at the same time while taking a baby step forward.
Right.
So to me, it's not about positive vibes only. That makes me want to throw up when I hear that stuff. You will never hear me say that, like, oh, good vibes only, like, barf. That's not real life, right? Yeah. But expanding our capacity as humans, the divine part of us, to experience those seemingly opposing emotions, holding space for both while continuing to take a baby step in action, to me, that's resilience.
Wow. Love that.
And then taking everything that we've been through, like you said, and that carving out that beautiful space for compassion, that to me is alchemizing what I've been through and making it sacred, because it doesn't look sacred. I have a whole photo journal. I love to photo journal of the darkest moments with puffy eyes.
I've seen those. Seen you post right? some things like that. And I love the vulnerability. I'm like, man, this woman,
it's
who
just,
are you?
But you know what though?
It's awesome.
Those are all part of a beautiful process that now I can take that seems ugly and messy and horrible, and I can share that with those who might receive that. And if I could just give a tiny shred of hope to one human heart or soul, that means everything to me.
For sure. Well, you're doing it with me right now, I'll tell you that.
Thank
so,
you.
So you meet Matt.
Yeah.
And I mean, there might have been a time in your through this journey, you're like, man, am I ever going to meet someone again? Or am I ever going to, and you know, and you're married to Matt, and you guys seem like you're doing great. And you know, how did that feel knowing that you've met someone like him and he's in your life, and you know, he obviously supports you in what you're going through and doing, and isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's incredible. I didn't want to meet someone, to be really honest. Because, I mean, the determined girls out there, that's a struggle. I got my own job. I'm well taken care of financially. Me and God, we got this, right?
Yeah.
I have a business that's thriving. I had a home. I have my beautiful children, a beautiful family. I don't want to meet someone and risk getting hurt again.
Yeah, right.
Heck no. I'm not into it. I'm good. So he didn't, I never sought out for anyone, and he didn't really either. We just happened to connect on Facebook through like a kind of part of my processing of trusting men again to be friends.
Yeah.
that it was really, let's be friends. Let's support each other. Knuckles emoji. That was the type of energy. Knuckles, bro. Right? So truly, was where we started. And we are best friends. We started out just really connected friends.
That's awesome.
And held a space for healing and just transparent, like, processing. And he is my best friend. And he's just a gift from God. He's a human. He's very human. And he would say the same thing about me. Mm. It isn't, we didn't ride off into the sunset. We rode off to the next mountain to climb together.
Yeah, I love that.
Truly. But for sure, life keeps lifing. And I never want to paint the picture that now I found my perfect person and everything's wonderful.
Yeah.
I found my perfect partner for me, who's very imperfect and I'm very imperfect. And we're doing the work together. And it's a healthy, we're doing healthy.
Wow.
And for us, that's kind of disorienting.
Yeah.
Because neither of us, we're new to healthy.
Wow.
So that's been another, you know,
that's awesome
challenge on its own, but just such a blessing, such a blessing.
You know, I went and grabbed this. I stood up and for those who are listening, I grabbed this notebook. I wrote this or this notepad and I wrote down this quote yesterday because I was like, dang, it just was amazing. And I want to share it because I think this describes kind of what you have gone through a little bit. Hmm. And I think it's by Neil Struss, so forgive me if I've got the reference wrong, but here it is. One of the biggest mistakes you can make is believing that love is finding the right person. In reality, love is about becoming the right person.
Mm.
Think of your journey you've been on. Mm. Don't go looking for the person you want to spend the rest of your life with. Become the type of person you want to spend the rest of your life with. The people who deserve you will naturally gravitate towards you.
Mm.
Unquote. Right?
Mic drop.
Wow.
Didn't I just say that?
Yep.
There was no seeking.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Wow. So that's why I went and grabbed that. I'm like, Chris.
No way.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I absolutely. I do. I mean, there's a lot to come. I want to talk about that stuff. I want to talk about.
Sure.
I didn't spend very long in the singles world, but I did have my couple years of, you know, being a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't. There's quotes and things about, oh, it's going to feel easy when you meet your right person. Yeah. And again, it makes me want to barf
because
I'm like, no, that's not, we're painting this reality that isn't real life.
Right.
And so then it makes people feel like, well, what am I doing wrong? Because I can't find that person where it feels easy. There's always struggle. Well, that's called opposition. That's meant to refine us. That relationship, I believe, is the one that's going to refine us the most because it's so close.
Yeah.
But what a sacred work to hold a mirror for each other and do that work. Man, it's messy.
Yeah, right.
But it's beautiful.
It's beautiful at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Change is messy.
Oh, man.
It is. But it's what it needs to be like in order to be better, to be purified, if you will.
Yeah.
Right? It's a messy process. It's uncomfortable. It's hard. It's blood, sweat, and tears.
Mm-hmm.
And you are the example of one who has fought through that process. And it's so cool. Like, it's probably even the wrong word, cool. But it's inspiring. It really is. It's, I'm just grateful that I'm sitting here with you right now.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Let's move on a little bit. I want to talk about Radiant Peace Collective.
All right.
And it's, I want to hear it from you. Like, this project you're working on, this idea that has kind of blossomed from what you've gone through, from the mess.
Absolutely. So I remember on our last interview, it was me kind of like talking about a dream that was out there. I just have this vision.
Yeah.
Maybe someday I would love to do this. I did hair for 20 years.
Right.
So I got to listen to people and I found that I love the human heart and the soul and hearing people and then doing their hair is cute too, right?
Sure.
But mostly I love that connection. Mm. And then in my work with my health and wellness business, the same thing, that connection is what I just love so much.
Yeah.
And so now this is kind of the evolution of that. And it actually came to be, like, the reality of it was a download on Thanksgiving morning of 2022. It was kind of an in-between rough processing season for me. And I woke up kind of in a funk, to be honest. And I was like, no, it's Thanksgiving Day. I want to rally. I want to feel better. And so took to the shower because warm water heals everything, right?
Right.
And I got this download, and I actually brought, just to show you.
Oh, yeah.
This was the notebook. I got this download. Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow.
Big light bulbs. So I was writing in my journal to process. And just these big visions. I'm very visual. So like pictures. Let me see where it starts. Pictures and concepts and just all these visuals and these beautiful things just came to my mind and heart. And
I love that.
It was born. I didn't know what it was called then.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh man, this isn't for me. This is something that's coming through me.
Mm.
I got to show up.
Yeah.
But it was, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it would look like. And it took me, I mean, that was November of 2022. I had to hurry up and get married in between then.
Yeah.
Hurry up and plan a wedding and, you know, move and all sorts of other things.
Yeah.
But I did start the process of it then.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just about to be born. So Radiant Peace Collective is basically, it's a 6-month course that is zooming in to concepts, slowing it way down with like worksheets, workshops, visuals, photo journaling, personal journaling, really in-depth, slowed down concepts so that we can learn and practice how to create peace first in the middle of chaos.
Yeah.
And then from that, we create radiance, which to me is acceptance of what is, with a love for God or creator. Love for self, love for others. That's what radiance is to me.
Yeah.
And then from there, we can go into that co-creative manifestation process of creating whatever we want. Business, fitness, relationships. It's just the key to unlocking potential with the twist of lives. Can we stop with the good vibes only? We're not going to be doing motivational BS. That's not what it's real life in the trenches, tools and practices that I use. That have worked. I'm still in the process. I'm never going to be arrived. I'm not arrived. I'm not always peaceful.
Yeah.
But it's a striving that I have found to be so rewarding.
Yeah.
So yeah, I am so excited to gather the souls that resonate and just get into it.
Wow, it sounds amazing. How far away are we from that happening? Just curious, are we close?
We're close. Yeah, I've got a beautiful assistant who's been laying the groundwork because I don't do logistics happily. I would so much rather have my beautiful assistant just own it. So she's been working on that. We're about a couple weeks away from being able to gather the souls and start to kick it off next month.
That's amazing. So, just since we're on this right now, if people want to find out more about this and find out how to sign up, if you will, what's the best way for someone to do that?
So I have my personal Instagram that's still Christy Jex.
Okay.
My name is Christy Jex Gerlach, but Christy Jex is just, it is my Insta. That's
your brand right there.
So that will always have some sort of link.
Okay.
And then I do have an Instagram that is just a baby that I'm just growing, Radiant Peace Collective.
Okay.
But it's just a brand new baby. So we'll be cultivating more there as the weeks and months come.
And I'll put that in the show notes, both those links, so they can just get right to it.
Awesome.
And obviously if they want to contact you and ask you any other questions you may have and, you know, what all the other stuff that you do and coaching and things like that.
Oh,
so
I love it.
We'll make sure we direct people in that
area.
You know, you've shared some amazing things today, Christy, honestly. Like I've been so touched with your words and the power behind it and the authenticity behind it. If there's someone listening to your voice right now that's in a dark place and they are in the depths, what would you tell that one person listening to your voice right now?
First I would give you a hug and just breathe. Sometimes that's all we need.
Mm.
No more good advice. No more fixing. Just, I'm breathing with you. You're not alone. You're not alone. I'm with you energetically. Todd is with you energetically. Mm-hmm. As a human family, we share pain together and triumph and joy. And there's unseen support that's undeniable that you are never alone. It's not possible.
Wow.
Just keep breathing and we are breathing with you. Sometimes that's all you can offer someone. It's just, I'm breathing with you.
Yeah, I love that. Because again, I think sometimes we try to be over positive as you've been talking a lot about right now. And sometimes we just go, you know what? That's not what I need right now.
Nope.
And I think I love that. I'm just going to hold you for a minute and we're going to just breathe and just know that you're not alone in this journey of chaos, if you will.
You're held. You know, you're just held. So held.
Well, and it's so beautiful that you said that because you talked about the depths of compassion that you've learned through this. Mm. That is compassion in action.
Mm.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. We're in it together.
Yeah. For sure.
No matter the flavor of pain, we're all in it together.
Yeah.
And there can be joy in the pain too.
Yeah.
But we are just all experiencing it together.
Yeah.
I think that's the kicker when you're in that dark place, is feeling like you truly are alone.
Yeah.
But that's just not possible.
It's not. And I, you know, compassion and sympathy and love and those things can kind of all mesh together. And I saw this the other day too, when I was doing some studying, where it was said, like, the saint used to be the sinner. The saint used to occupy the same place as the sinner.
Mm.
The saint's just a little further down the road in development.
Mm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we can look at people who are suffering and go, I've been there.
Right there.
And I still have my own sufferings up here, but I've been right where you're at. So
yeah,
that's why I loved what you said. Is like, you know what? I'm going to just hold you for a second because I get it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's probably what you needed in those moments too, Christy.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Just
more than anything else.
Just the assurance that someone's with me in the trenches, feeling my pain, not trying to fix it, not trying to hurry it up, not trying to invalidate it by, oh, it could be worse. Oh, BS. Breathe.
Right.
Just keep breathing. It hurts. I know. But don't invalidate your pain. Yeah. Feel it. And the sooner we feel it and we truly process it, we can move through it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to stay forever.
Yeah.
We can truly process it through and get into co-creation and manifesting and abundance in all the ways. It doesn't have to stay forever, but the quicker we drop into it, feel it, and support each other in that, then we can move through it.
Okay. Love it. Beautifully said. Wow. Well, this has been amazing. I can't thank you enough for spending some time. I know we're getting you before you hit the slopes today.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad you get to go do that with Matt and go have a great, great weekend with your family. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You've brightened my day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure everyone listening to this feels the same way.
Mm.
The compassion is felt.
Oh, I'm glad.
You can't fake that.
Mm.
And I'm sure anyone listening to this needed this today as well.
Oh.
So thank you, Christy, for being who you are and being such a light in this world.
Mm. Well, thank you, Todd. What you're doing is so beautiful.
Thank you.
And I have massive respect and so much gratitude for what the space that you create, for
thank
all
you.
The people that share and all the people who receive such a beautiful work. So thank you for showing up this way.
Thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. That means a lot coming from you. Well, there you go, folks. Christy Jex Gerlach. Making sure I'm
saying
that. I know. I'm hesitating. I don't want to butcher it. But yeah, please reach out to her. Go check out her course. It's going to be amazing. As you can tell, man, listening to her word, I mean, wow. It's going to be powerful and it'll be life-changing. Please reach out to her. Please share this with your loved ones. If you have a friend who's struggling, if you have a son or a daughter who's in a dark place, give them a link to this episode. Seriously, like, what a way to break the ice. If you're having a hard time, like, I don't know what to say to that person, I know they're going through it, send them just a link to this and let them listen to Christy for a minute. And then it gives you something to follow up with.
Mm.
It breaks the ice. So please do that. I know a lot of you have done that because you've told me it really made a difference by doing that. So thanks for tuning in. Again, thanks to my sponsor. The music you heard at the beginning and at the end of this podcast is by my good friend, Paul Cardall. I love you, man. Thanks for letting me use your music. You're amazing. And Christy, you're amazing. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you. And you're amazing too.
Thank you so much. All right, guys. Love you guys. Until next time. Take care.
Bye.